It's time to get up and get your day started.
Morant. Oh! A jawbreaker!
It's Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, here are your hosts, Greg and Eli.
You get up every morning from the Longhorns water, take the 8:15 into the city. There's a whistle up above.
It's time to get up, folks. Time to get your Friday started because the weekend is right around the corner. Welcome in to Sports 56 Mornings on this Friday, April 10th, 2026. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Jay Ham, and a cast of thousands here. We are loaded. We are jammed packed here in the Family Leisure Studios. It's a big enough studio, but when you have thousands in here, yeah, there's not a lot of room to wiggle around. Family Leisure, they have a lot of space out there at 2120 Witten Road, which is just north of Interstate 40. Big property, lots of things to check out. Maybe head on over this weekend and see what they have to offer with their spring sale. It's Family Leisure. We're going to have another beautiful day weather-wise, 55 currently. It's going to get up to 82 today, partly sunny and very warm, and then even warmer for the weekend. We're talking about the possibility of some record temperatures tomorrow. 85 currently is the projected high, and that's right around the all-time record. I think the all-time record is 80. I'm trying to find it. I think it's like 87. So we will be flirting with an all-time high tomorrow. But today, beautiful. Tomorrow, beautiful. Sunday, beautiful. It will cloud up on Monday. And earlier this week, I talked about the precip chances early next week. Well, they've kind of gone away a little bit. 25% Monday, 22% Tuesday. Not until Wednesday and Thursday do I see the possibility of actual rain and maybe even a storm here in Memphis. So take advantage of the absolutely beautiful weather here in the early portion of April. We got 3 hours of scintillating sports talk to come your way, including plenty of NBA talk as we wind down. The final games of the regular season are this weekend. The Grizzlies have two games remaining. They are, of course, in tank mode. They have been in tank mode for about 3 months, and they will take on maybe the ultimate tanker in the Utah Jazz, the Grizzlies and the Jazz tonight in Salt Lake City. We'll tell you who's not playing. Maybe it'd be easier to tell you who's playing or who we think may be playing, because these teams are barely going to field teams for tonight's game. It is a who's who on the status report for this one tonight. We'll talk portal news, and we'll talk recruiting news. And the University of Memphis nailed one of their big prospects yesterday, Fred Smith, announcing he will attend the University of Memphis. And we are excited to have Fred Smith join us on the program. That'll be coming up at 9:30. The Masters got underway yesterday. It was fast. It was hard. There hasn't been rain, so it makes it even tougher for the greatest golfers in the world. But some were able to tame the course. And a great start for Rory, the defending champion. But some big names had issues on Thursday at Augusta National. We got some Memphis Tigers football news to get to as well. Big Ten with a big haul when it comes to money via the NCAA basketball tournament. We'll give you that information. John Varlas, of course, will be with us at 7:25, as he is every single Friday. At 8:05, Hannah Hayden, head coach of the Memphis women's basketball team, she will join us. Joe DeLeon at 8:25 as we get closer towards the NFL draft. And as I mentioned, Fred Smith Jr. at 9:30. At 9:05, we'll play 10 in a row, the game show that has swept the nation. Then we'll get the heck out of here and get ready for the weekend. You can hit us up on the Sissy's Law Cabin listener lines at 901-360-8255. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's happening?
I'm just enjoying this weather that I keep talking about. It's this beautiful stuff. Yesterday was gorgeous, and looking forward to a gorgeous weekend as well.
Absolutely. Take advantage of it, because before too long, it's going to be so hot and humid, and we're going to be sweating to death, and we're going to be aching for those days where there's a little bit of crispness in the air. And that crispness only in the morning right now, which is fine. And then the afternoon is absolutely spectacular. Jay Ham, how are you this morning?
I'm pretty good, but I'm not looking forward to a sweat towel season where I have to keep that sweat towel somewhere on hand.
I hate it. I know Eli and I talk about this all the time, and he's I don't know, more. I guess you're more used to the heat. I'm still. You know, I've been here 30 years, and I still am not used to it.
I'm born and raised here, and I'm never used to it.
Yeah, it gets just so humid. You're sweating getting in your car because the air conditioner isn't cranking yet. So you're sweating. Then finally, when the air conditioning gets going, you've reached your destination.
In a time where you have to get in and you have to roll your windows down first to let the hot air out, then turn your air on, it's a hot spot.
Absolutely. Well, as I mentioned, it was a big day yesterday for the University of Memphis. A couple accounts. First of all, the announcement of the continued relationship and sponsorship deal with the great folks at the FedEx Corporation. And Memphis will become one of the first schools in the country, now that it is legal to do, okay to do. The FedEx patch will be featured on uniforms of all 19 men's and women's Tigers athletic programs, starting, of course, in the fall, the 26-27 athletic season. Again, one of the first ever jersey patch sponsorships and another revenue stream for the University of Memphis. That relationship has been great for many, many years and will continue to be.
Yeah, it continues to go without saying of just what FedEx continues to mean for the university, for the city. The support they continue to give is absolutely unbelievable, and that is great for the University of Memphis and for everybody to continue to have FedEx be such a prominent part of everything that goes on in this city, and especially at that university.
And it's a sweet-looking patch. Looks good. Saw the video with our friend D'Angelo Williams walking around at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. Of course, in the background, you can see the renovations continue, and can't wait for those to be done by the start of the season. But talking about Memphis and the commitment from FedEx, and I just think it's a real, real neat thing to have, to be able to have a backing. And you really, in this day and age, need companies or deep-pocketed individuals. If you don't have them, if you don't have that support from your alumni or from corporations within your community, you're dead in the water. You're in trouble.
Well, yeah, I mean, for programs like this, for universities like this, when you're not cashing those massive checks from your conference on a regular basis, you need everything you can get. And certainly FedEx is at the top of that list for making sure that the University of Memphis at least tries to stay competitive in that world. And I mean, that the overall support through the years is just it's just really unbelievable, the way they just continue to fork out that support, the money, everything else to support the university.
And, of course, that was far from the only news for the University of Memphis yesterday, the only bit of good news. No, there was a lot more than that, because, ironically, on the day that this patch sponsorship was officially announced, the University of Memphis, and when I say ironically, is because they land for the basketball program a gentleman by the name of Fred Smith. Fred Smith Jr. Not to be confused with former FedEx owner, the late, great Fred Smith. This Fred Smith plays basketball, and he plays it well. He's a two-time state champion with Briarcrest Christian. He's a two-time Mr. Basketball player in the state of Tennessee. As I mentioned, he will join us at 9:30 on the program. Looking forward to talking to him. He's a matchup nightmare for teams. He's a very versatile four-star big, a forward. And for a while there, Eli, I'm sure some people were really thinking the whole time, the entire time, that Fred was coming to Memphis. Maybe some people never even wavered. But after a while, I think you started to have a little apprehension that maybe he's looking to go somewhere else because of the delay of the announcement. And I'm not saying he was going to do it at a certain time, delayed it, and then announced yesterday. It was just that it was after the season, we hadn't heard word, and I think with the bad season that Memphis just went through, they were hoping for some good news, and they got it yesterday.
Yeah, it's great. Great for them to get a top 100 recruit, another top 100 recruit, and this year's team, or next year's team, I guess, will have a little bit more of a local flavor to it than we've seen in recent years, which I know will make a lot of people out there very happy. But hopefully he and Cello can come in and make impacts right away as freshmen. We'll see who they end up still getting out of the portal. But that's very, very nice for Penny to land a big local recruit like Fred Smith.
Yeah, to have those guys continue that relationship that they had when they were young, to be able to play together at the University of Memphis. I know everybody is looking forward to that. The signing will take place, according to Jason Munns, I think Munsey had it first, that the signing will take place, I'm looking for the date here on my notes, it will be April 15th. That's when they're expected to formally sign on the dotted line. But as you said, there's the local connection, of course, of the two players that they retained from last season's squad, one local in Thetford, Julius Thetford. So now with Fred Smith. So there's that local flair to the team. And there's also at least the continuity of being able to keep a couple of guys back from last year's team, albeit a horrible team, a horrible season. I think it was important to keep a few, and that's basically what they've done. Now it's all about the portal. It's about getting some really consequential players. You know, Fred could be certainly an impactful player as a freshman, but you're looking to load up as much as you can, getting the right combination, hopefully finding the right chemistry, and getting impact players. They know where they erred last year in many different areas, but in particular shooting was a nightmare. They need to find shooters, and the portal is now open, and we'll see what happens now that they have their general manager, although, again, still finishing up his work, Gabriel Harris with the Sacramento G League team in, what is it, Stockton?
Mm-hmm.
When does that wrap up? Do you know?
Could wrap up tonight.
Okay. But, again, the thought is that he's been doing work for both while finishing up his G League commitment, trying to win a second straight G League title. So good news yesterday, and it's nice to have some good basketball news because we have not had a lot of it. But good news all around for Memphis basketball specifically, and for the university as well. Also good news for the Memphis women as they were able to retain four players. Again, not a great team last year, but I think the players that Hannah Hayden was able to retain, and she'll talk to us about that when she joins us at 8:05, really need it to be back in Memphis because Deja Richmond is an all-conference type player. Tamaya Smith is excellent. Jordan Hunter, they picked up last year from Auburn. And then Bailey Gilmore has been with the team for a couple of years, an experienced veteran backup big. Good haul there for Hannah Hayden to be able to convince those four players that Memphis is the right place for them and they will stay and play another season at the University of Memphis. Some other portal news involving Memphis. Simon Majok has signed with Nevada. We knew Simon Majok had hit the portal, but that was pretty quick. He has headed to play for the Wolfpack. Also, Tennessee big man J.P. Estrella headed to Michigan to play with the national champions.
Yep, they wasted no time in restocking with a new big man. They also got Elliot Cadeau coming back, which is just, it's always, I don't know that I'm ever going to get used to reading things about college players where they say agreed to a deal to come back or agreed to a contract to return. It's like, I don't know, it just doesn't sound right with college kids, but
look at her transactions.
That is the way it is. I keep waiting for a trade. I'm waiting for a college trade to happen. But yeah, that's big for Michigan, and to get Cadeau back and then add him, they are wasting no time in restocking and, or in the case of Cadeau, keeping one of their great players. So Michigan figures to be pretty darn good again.
I saw a story maybe this morning, and I can't remember exactly which all teams were on the list, but I think it was seven schools. Michigan State was one off the top of my head. Connecticut was one. These schools have yet to lose a player to the portal. They're going to lose some players in the NBA, but they did not lose any players up until this point to the portal. Now, the portal's still open until the 21st. Michigan was not one of those, however. Michigan has lost a player to the portal, but as you said, to be able to get Cadeau back for another year and now bring in an experienced veteran like Estrella, Michigan will be right there at the top again. And speaking of college hoops, no surprise here, Dan Hurley would love to have Braylon Mullins back for another year. He says that there's a story from Adam Zagoria, urges Braylon to stay in college for more money. That's weird because it's usually stay in college to better yourself, to give yourself a better opportunity to go higher in the NBA draft. No, that's not the case. This is Dan Hurley saying, come back because you have a great chance to make more money in college than probably where you're going to be selected in the NBA draft. But Mullen's name has flirted with the lottery. I don't know if he's a lottery pick, but I've seen him in the teens, which is going to be really good money. If he drops into the 20s, yeah, more than likely, you could probably make more coming back to college for a year. So it's interesting, that dilemma too. Not dilemma, but that dynamic.
Well, the decision really, comes down to, do you want to get into the NBA to get your started, because that's a year closer to your second contract. If you believe you're going to be able to be a really good NBA player, it's all about getting your second contract. And so do you want to get to the NBA just to get the clock ticking to get to that second contract 1 year earlier than what you would by staying in college and making the money for the year?
Yeah, look, I can't speak for these players, but why rush it now? We've always heard people say, hey, enjoy the whole college deal. Going to class, mingling with your not only your teammates, but your classmates. Have fun. Enjoy life. Now it's, hey, stay in college because that's another year of big-time money. It's not anything about the education, about going to school, the campus life. It's about how much money can you make staying in college as compared to starting your professional career, where it is a different world. Even though now the big-time collegiate sports are basically professional, it's still not quite what the NBA is, what the NFL is. Knicks G League guard Dink Pate has committed to Providence. So Brian Hodgson, the new head coach of the Friars, has himself a G League player.
Yeah, that's a big-time get. Pate was a very highly ranked recruit that ended up going to the G League Ignite a few years ago. He struggled shooting the basketball in his first couple of years in the G League. But I mean, he's like a 6'8", basically a 6'8" point guard. And then this past year, his 3-point shooting got a lot better. He ended up, I think this year, shooting around 35% from three when he had been like a 20%, like just really couldn't shoot the three at all.
Mm-hmm.
But he averaged like 16 a game in the G League this year. Like, that is a massive get for Providence. Like, that dude can play. That dude can flat out play. I'll be interested to see what he's able to do at the college level.
And again, for those who may be confused about the whole situation of being a professional, but a G Leaguer, not having signed a 10-day, not having played a game with the big team, and then also, of course, the influx of the European, or not just European, but international professionals, it is a little bit confusing. But the G League players who have not signed the contract with the big team as a two-way guy and have played any two-way games are eligible. They are within their right to go back to college if they have eligibility left.
Yeah, he was not drafted. He was not ever signed with an NBA team. He's just been a regular G League player for the Ignite, and then played in the G League with the Ignite, and then this past year, just a regular G League player with Westchester. So, based on where we stand with things, those guys are currently eligible to play. And he's still within the 5-year window, any of that, if you want to argue any of that. Like, he's still within that. I think he was a class of 2023, I believe it was, coming out of high school. So he's within that 5-year window, all of that stuff. So, yeah, right now he is an eligible college basketball player. And again, that is a big-time pickup for Providence because that kid can play.
Well, you called it yesterday, and I agreed with you wholeheartedly because I would have put some money down if I could. You said Cedric Coward would be out for tonight's game in Utah. You are absolutely right. He's not the only one out, of course. Lower back soreness. Coward, one of 12 players on the status report that came out yesterday from the Grizzlies. Not even the Jazz. We're just talking about one team, the Grizzlies. 12 players listed out for the game. One is doubtful, and two are questionable. You talk about a bare-bones roster. Now, I haven't even seen Utah's, but I imagine it's just as bad. As those two teams will play tonight in Salt Lake City, and for all intents and purposes, they're battling for a difference of what? Two different spots in the draft lottery, meaning two better positions to get a chance at the number one pick?
Yeah.
Not just one, two spots, basically.
They're tied with Dallas, one game ahead as far as worst record, or one game behind if you're looking at actual standings,
right,
of New Orleans. So, yes, a loss tonight for the Grizzlies could be big as far as that is concerned. Do you know the only – there's only one of the 15 guys on the actual roster that have regular NBA contracts. Do you know the only one not listed on the injury report for tonight?
For the Grizzlies?
Yes.
The only one not listed?
There's only one. There's 14 of the regular NBA contract the Grizzlies have are on the injury report one way or another. There's one guy that's not.
Once I saw that, I started to laugh. I just looked for Coward, so I didn't really look at the other guys. Is it Spencer?
No, he's out.
He's out.
I don't even know where to begin.
It's the one you would expect to be healthy, Taj Gibson.
Oh my gosh.
He's the only guy on a regular NBA contract on the team who's not on the injury report for tonight.
It's 33 of them, Eli. We can easily forget that one.
Chances Taj tweaks a hammy tonight. I'd say it's a pretty good percentage.
He's not he'll only play like probably 6 or 7 minutes or something like that. He'll barely play. But he's not listed on the injury report at all. He's the only guy of the 15 regular guys that they have that's not listed.
What is the NBA rule for the amount of players you have to have to play a game?
Eight is supposed to be.
And they have eight? Unbelievable. All right, we'll talk more about that in the NBA again as we are down to the final few days of the regular season. We'll do that later on in the show. John Varlas will join us next. I do want to tell you about one of our great sponsors, our sweetest sponsor, and that's Dinsdale's Fine Candies and Chocolates, 126 years and counting. Now, they have their own bracket of candies and chocolates and delectables, and they got down to their final four, and they eventually had their national championship. The winner of the Dinsdale's Sweet Madness Championship for 25-26, chocolate-covered strawberries, number one in your hearts, number one in your stomachs as well. And right now you can get chocolate-covered strawberries at a discounted price this week and this week only. That means today and tomorrow, your last chance to get the box of chocolate-covered strawberries for $24.95. You can't beat it. It's sweet victory for chocolate-covered strawberries, but all their candies and delectables are outstanding, from the chocolate-covered pretzels, the chocolate-covered Heath, all the chocolate-covered fruits, the cashew crunch, and everything else they have to offer at Dinsdale's. Five locations in Collierville, in Germantown, Pleasant View, that's where the factory is, where they make the candy, Laurelwood, that's in East Memphis, and downtown Memphis, again, for over 126 years and going strong, it's Dinsdale's. John Varlas is next. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. everyone. 7:28 is the time. Hour number one here on Sports 56 Mornings, getting you set for the sports weekend. And every Friday, we discuss a number of things, but we emphasize prep sports in the Memphis and metropolitan Memphis area with John Varlas.
It's time for Greg and Eli's weekly visit with John Varlas of the Daily Memphian. Check out John's prep sports coverage and much more at dailymemphian.com. John is brought to you by Shoot 360 Memphis, where the pros and preps go to get their shot on. Shoot 360 Memphis. Now here's John Varlas with Greg and Eli.
He is the award-winning prep reporter for the Daily Memphian, John Varlas, but he's so much more. You can follow him on Twitter at John Varlas. Of course, read all his great stories at the DM. Listen to him every Friday right here on Sports 56 Mornings. Again, he's brought to you by the folks at Shoot 360 Memphis. That's where you need to get your shot on, in Cordova, that 50,000 square foot facility. Go visit them. Big Orange Road, call them at 901-779-3176. They'll answer any questions you have. Set up a tour. You can also do that for Collierville, where they do have the shooting bays with the Shoot 360 technology. That's the original at 85 Market Street. 901-316-5500. Call the folks in Collierville. Monthly memberships available at Shoot 360 Memphis. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, Greg and Eli and Jay. How's everybody today? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you.
Happy Fred Smith Day in the city of Memphis. That was yesterday.
How wild, though, is it that Memphis, you know, they land the big fish locally that they were going after, and his name just happens to be Fred Smith?
Well, I mean, I'm sure throughout this, throughout the length and breadth of this great country, there's lots of Fred Smiths out there. But yeah,
Fred Smith in Memphis means a little more.
I was going to say we are very fortunate to have one, you know, on the business side that has done so much for our community, and now we have a much younger one making his way in the great game of basketball, and we'll see how that goes. Now that he's looks like he's definitely going to be a Tiger.
Can he fly? That's what I want to know.
If he can have, I'm going to guess that this one will not have quite the impact on the University of Memphis than the other one.
Well, I mean, you know, you'd be talking like a combination LeBron James, Michael Jordan. If that were to be the case,
he'd have to literally lead him to a national championship. Would be
well, maybe four national championships. But yeah, no, yeah. So yeah. Fred Smith, the businessman. I mean, you know, what can you say about FedEx? And like you guys were talking, the sponsorship on the jerseys, you know, I mean, you know, the golf tournament, everything they do here athletically. And I mean, specifically athletically, because we're a sports show. But, you know, just for the community in general, employing so many people and all that. You can't put a price on that.
No, you can't.
LeBron wants him to move to Nashville, though.
Well, you know, we're not going to get into all that. Although I did get into a little roundabout on the whole water thing. Memphis water.
Oh, the water. Yeah,
yeah.
The
that
water.
That was like
the people. I know people around here like to defend the water.
Well, I mean, it's pretty beyond reproach. I mean, it's you know, it's provable that it's, you know, the best or among the best water.
What
the
hell's
country.
Going on with that? I haven't followed that.
Yeah, on you know, a couple of three or four couple of days after the main kerfuffle with LeBron James, Jeff Teague, you know, former NBA player Jeff Teague was on the podcast.
Oh, the brown water guy?
He was complaining about brown water in his bathtub in his hotel room. And my wife and I had a situation a couple of years ago in our neighborhood where something broke and something leaked into, I guess, the reservoir or something like that. And our water was, you know, fouled up for a week.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm. You know, it affected a lot of people out in Germantown. But, you know, that doesn't mean Memphis has quote-unquote bad water. No, Memphis has awesome water.
Memphis has awesome water.
That's literally more fighting words than what LeBron said. Like, yeah, people here, you bad-mouth water. You know what I call that? I call that tea.
Brown dirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can go to other cities, believe me, and experience actual real bad water. I love our water so much that now my wife, we buy the bottled water. She loves the bottled water, whatever. I love just taking a cup, putting ice in the cup, opening up the thing, and then There we go. That's my water. I don't drink. I drink that water right from the tap.
You know,
I love it.
You know your water, Greg Gaston. That's the way to go. And let me
it's
say,
great.
And let me say too, I'm also very proud of you. I like to, you know, bust your chops every now and again. But yesterday when you were paying tribute to the great Davey Lopes and you were able to run down that entire Dodgers starting lineup, I was really impressed by that. I mean, it's weird too, right?
Insignificant stuff I can remember.
Well, but you couldn't name the current Dodgers infield, right?
I would have to really
But no problem naming the one from 1977.
Right.
Why are our brains like that?
I don't know.
Yeah, but it's wild, isn't it? Because I do the same thing. I probably couldn't. I'd have to think about the current Dodgers infield. I might get it eventually. But the Davey Lopes, Bill Russell, that whole unit.
Yeah.
It's like I know that like I know my name. Why
I know
is that?
I know I know a lot of the team's lines. I think it's crazy how our brains work.
Yeah.
Mine is a terrible thing to waste, by the way, somebody once said.
I heard that.
I don't know what that is. Before we get into Fred Smith and get your opinion on Fred and Kenny being he's not going to be as impactful as the late great Fred Smith, but he could be very impactful, and that's what they're hoping. Do you have a bone to pick?
Well, I mean, we got so much to talk about today. I don't want to take up time. I certainly don't want to be late for Coach Hannah Hayden. So, yeah, let's just skip that and get right into it.
Is he getting softer now, Eli? Less bones here in the last couple of months.
Well, I mean, he's already kind of
jumped on Jeff Teague.
Jeff Teague. Yeah, so he's already.
I'll work him in.
I was shooting fish in a barrel, though. Yeah, Jeff Teague's for marks.
Well, I'll work him.
He
in
used the word kerfuffle, so I'm all good with him. that's a great word.
Which also sounds like some kind of Greek dish. But anyway, I digress. You had to listen to the show yesterday to know what I'm talking about. Fred Smith, the player. What is Memphis getting?
Well, they're getting a winner, Greg Gaston, in his 4 years on the varsity at Briarcrest, which I'm certain he started every game unless he might have sat down on senior night at some point when he was an underclassman. They went 119 up and 15 down. Mm. They won two state championships. The other 2 years, they finished as runner-up. So 4 years, four trips to the final game. They're getting a winner. They're getting an unselfish basketball player. They're getting somebody, a really good basketball mind, in my opinion, someone who kind of processes the game well, someone who can see the game and read the game and make the right play and the right pass at the right time. Not a super-duper athlete, although he's gotten better at that. He's certainly gotten more explosive as his career has gone on. He can take you off the dribble and dunk on you or put a spin move on you on the baseline and get around you and dunk on you that way. But again, just a really smart, heady ball player, someone who plays within himself and, someone that just impacts winning, whether it's scoring, rebounding, or assists. I mean, he finished his career with over 1,000 rebounds, over 500 assists, and he was about 50 points shy of 2,000 points. So, that is a testament to his versatility. I tried to dig and find out if there were any other high school players that had got, 2,000, 1,000, and 500, and I couldn't come up with any. Maybe there is, but I couldn't come up with any. It's just a tremendous testament to him and the way he kind of sees and reads and plays the game of basketball. He plays it at a very intelligent level.
So with especially the scoring and the rebounding part, do you believe that translates to the college game for him?
I think it does. It's going to be interesting to see what, and I was thinking about this in the car on the way up here. It's going to be interesting to see what he'll look like playing with other college level players.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's played with some excellent players at Briarcrest, but at a relatively high level program like Memphis, it's going to be interesting to see the talent around him and how he meshes with those guys and how that game translates. So I think it does. He's got such great facilitating skills. And the way he processes and reads the game is so high, in my opinion. I think he can fit in on any team.
How tall is he?
He's listed at 6'7". I'm not good at judging heights. I mean, he's much taller than I am.
He's taller than me or shorter than me.
Yeah, so I was about 6'7". Maybe 6'6". I don't know. If you measured him in bare feet, I don't know what he'd be. But he's
luckily he won't play in bare feet.
Yeah.
Is he strictly a four?
I would say
at the college level?
Yeah, I mean, at Briarcrest, he was able to, you know, a lot of times he was able to get the ball and bring it up and more or less function as a point guard. Now, again, in college with better athletes, with quicker athletes on every team, you know, will he be able to do that consistently like he did at Briarcrest? I don't know. I think he certainly can do it in spells, but you know, he's going to have to adjust, and I think it's going to be incumbent on Coach Hardaway and the new staff that he's brought in there to kind of find a way to maximize his ability.
Yeah.
You know, now that they've got him in the fold, I think that's one thing that Briarcrest did really well, and Coach Harrington and his staff over there, you know, they kind of saw early on, I guess, what they had with him, and they, you know, kind of created a system and a scheme to maximize his abilities. And, you know, and it worked out, like I said, tremendously with, you know, two state titles and, you know, much, much success over his 4-year career. So, you know, that the Tulane guy they have coming in, you know, he's an offensive kind of mind guy, right? That's his reputation. So, you know, so maybe he can come up with something. I don't know. That's going to be the interesting part of it, you know, what they can devise or if they can devise anything that kind of maximizes what Fred can do and make him at least somewhat of a centerpiece like he was in high school.
Well, a lot will depend on who else they bring in. And I love the fact that he's versatile, the versatility. I'm not comparing him. Don't lose your mind. I'm not comparing him to Yaxel, but Yaxel, where you can put him in at 4, 3, 2, 1, even guard at the 5 sometimes. And I didn't get the chance to watch Fred up close and personal like you said, like you did. But what you said was he brought the ball up sometimes. He played the 4. The versatility, I think, will benefit him in the long run.
If you remember, Greg, he's not, you know, the physical specimen that this guy was. If you remember Anthony Mason for the Knicks, you know, he was able to rebound, to handle as well, and you know, and score inside with a big body, you know, and have that kind of versatility. I think that's, you know, kind of a good comparison for people that have never seen Fred play. Again, he's, you know, he's not 250, 260 pounds.
Yeah.
But you know, just skill-wise, I think he brings a lot of similar qualities that Anthony Mason did when he was with the Knicks.
And much like Mason, like he's right now, at least, he doesn't shoot much from the outside.
No, not much. And this is interesting too. Something, little tidbit, Coach Harrington dropped on us yesterday. It didn't make the story, but just kind of a fun thing. He will leave Briarcrest as the all-time career field goal percentage leader. He shot 71% from the floor for his career, and that,
wow,
that breaks the
Austin Nichols, I would have thought, would be right up
broke Austin Nichols' record. So yeah, but there with the, you know, Eli kind of caught on to where I was going with that. Shooting 71% from the floor, it tells you he's taking smart shots, he's playing within himself, and he's also getting a lot of good looks at the rim.
But like you said, the competition now gets a lot stiffer, and we'll see if he can, you know, live up to what he did as a high school player in college. Certainly a lot of people have the confidence that he can do that. We'll talk. Well, you got one more?
And the thing is, like, it does have to be remembered. We're not talking about a five-star top five kid here. We're talking, he was ranked, what, like in the 80s, I believe?
Yeah, 80s or up.
Still, that's very respectable, though. Four-star guy.
Certainly respectable.
But no, but people, like, I don't think, people shouldn't look at this like this is the savior of the program.
Right.
Like, people are like, oh my gosh, like this isn't, you went and got Derrick Rose.
Well, some people will because they always go overboard.
Yeah, well, please, I know I've cautioned people privately, I've even on these airwaves. Yeah, don't go overboard. I mean, you know, Fred Smith is going to be a piece to the puzzle.
Yes.
He's going to be a very,
well said,
very good piece, and you know, somebody that's going to impact and facilitate, right, hopefully winning basketball just like he did on the high school level.
Again, we'll talk to Fred at 9:30. He is scheduled to join us, but we talk more with John Varlas when we return. We'll talk about what's happening in prep sports around the area. John Varlas, brought to you by the great folks at Shoot 360 Memphis. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Did you miss your favorite Sports 56 show?
No!
Check out the podcast, broken down hourly, at sports56whbq.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like and subscribe. Never miss any Sports 56 show again with our podcasts available daily from Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 7:46 is the time. It's Friday. That means it's John Varlos who joins us every Friday from the Daily Memphian. All right, John, preps-wise, let's talk about what's happening. There's also some interesting portal news, if you will, for high school football for the fall. Some players changing locations.
Yeah, and it's interesting. So we're having, I say we, the TSSAA is having a legislative council meeting on Tuesday, and I'll be there for that in Mount Juliet. And portal transfer, the whole high school transfer thing is going to be front and center on the table. And hopefully some things will get discussed and ironed out as it regards to that and give these schools some direction on what they can expect, going forward. But for now, yeah, people are transferring. I think I saw somebody said that 100 over 100 kids in the state of Tennessee, football players, had already announced their intention to transfer schools for next season. Quite a few of those, obviously, in Shelby County. A couple of days ago, we saw Antoine Jackson from White Station, highly regarded edge rusher, 6'6", 245 pounds, has plenty of P4 offers. He posted on Twitter that he and his family had moved to Collierville, and he'll be playing for Collierville next year. So that, I mean, when you look at potentially the team that Collierville might be able to put on the field next year, you've got a quarterback with P4 offers, Braden Santibanez. You've got multiple linemen on both sides of the ball with P4 offers, Antoine Jackson, Braylon Warren, Braden Washington. In my opinion, you got the best wide receiver in the state at Collierville, and Tay Walden. He has numerous P4 offers. I mean, you've got the makings if everything stays intact and nothing but changes between now and, you know, kickoff. You've got the makings of a really, really good team out there in Collierville this year.
So on the transfer thing, they changed it, what, before last, this past year?
They did, and right now it's kind of, you know, not really a lot of guardrails in place. And, you know, so I'm going to be interested to see what they come up with, you know, at this meeting.
So
if it's going to make it easier, if it's going to make it harder, you know, because once it comes into play on July 1st, you know, there we could even see more transfers.
Okay, because I was wondering, like, were they like looking at this first year of whatever the current thing is and thinking like this isn't working and we need to change it, or like
I'm not sure exactly what the thinking is, what they're thinking, it's working or not. But yeah, but we're going to find out a lot of that, okay. And that's why I'm going up there. I mean, it's going to be a pretty important meeting.
Is there a window? Right
now? There's no window.
So there's no window.
There's no window per se. If
the family moves to a city in August 15th, they could be playing on that team the next day.
Theoretically, you could do that. Yeah. I mean, we just like in college, we need some kind of guidance and some kind of regulation. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. So, I mean, that was an interesting development with Antoine Jackson. Some recruiting news for the University of Memphis fans. Antonio Kiefer, the great lineman at Southwind, 6'5", 310 pounds, class of 2027. So, yeah, he'll be a senior coming up this year. He announced his final four schools, and he's got the Ohio State Buckeyes, LSU Tigers, Ole Miss Rebels, and Memphis Tigers.
How about that?
How about that?
Just to be on that list, included in that group, pretty good.
Yeah, and Antonio's a great – I mean, obviously a talented football player, but he's a great young man. I think he was the junior class president over there at Southwind.
Wow.
Always.
Did you say what he was? 6'5", 310?
Yeah,
they call him Junior.
Offensive lineman. That's just.
It's
insane.
Well, you know,
and we'll get
like,
bigger.
So he's like
and we'll
17 years old.
Well, you know, 6'5", 310. You know, Kelvin Perkins was a tremendously skilled and athletic football player, but you know he benefited from playing in behind one of the best offensive lines in the state last year, and those guys were all juniors. Antonio Kiefer, Chris Campbell, Zacchaeus Ratliff. I mean, you know, outside of probably Baylor and McCauley and like Oakland, I mean, that's probably the best offensive line in the state.
Some would say a quarterback's only as good as their offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, but those guys are awesome, and as far as I know, they're all returning intact. So,
wow.
And it's not a small group either, obviously.
good for Joe Riccone, huh?
These guys are at Southwind.
Oh, so, Southwind, okay. Yeah. But I'm sure Joe's got a good offensive line too.
Definitely. Yeah.
Do they have a good new quarterback? Who their new quarterback?
I think if I'm I'm going from memory here. I believe that the Kirby quarterback, Malcolm Jack, has announced his intention to transfer to Southwind. And it's going to be interesting with Southwind, too, because, you know, last year they relied so much on Kelvin Perkins. You know, they may be a little bit more of a run-heavy team this year because I know Kamani Williams, the running back who was at Memphis Business Academy, is also transferred to Southwind. And again, Kamani is another player with, you know, numerous P4 offers, you know, all kinds of, you know, big schools after Kamani Williams. He's a really talented running back. So you put a guy like him behind, you know, the U-Haul boys. That's what the offensive line calls themselves, like, because they move you from, you know, point A to point B down the field. So you put a good running back like him behind those guys. And, yeah, Southwind is going to be – should be terrific as well, too. It's just going to be kind of a different Southwind, obviously, with no Kelvin Perkins this year.
Well, of course, we're ways away from the high school football season, but we're right now in the midst of the high school baseball season. I'm sure there was a lot of things that happened this past week since we last spoke to you last Friday.
Yeah, kind of Briarcrest heavy this week. Just worked out that way. But we went out Monday to check out on Finn Beard, the Texas commit. It's interesting with Finn. So he had a little inflammation issue early in the season. Didn't start the season with everybody else. He pushed him back a couple of weeks, and then first two, three starts of the year were kind of scrimmage things, just building up, kind of warming up to, you know, to kind of get in the groove. And, you know, he went out against MUS on Monday and pitched a terrific game, you know, 10 strikeouts, you know, looked like the old Finn. And so, you know, with him and Nate Powers at the top of that rotation, you know, that makes Briarcrest pretty tough. They just got to, you know, keep hitting the ball like they have been here lately. If they do that, you know, certainly got a good chance to be right back in the state title mix.
I'm sure the coaches really appreciate the weather we've been having. You don't have to worry about rain outs. You don't have to worry about anything. It's just go play.
I think everybody appreciates it. And, it should be great weather, too. A nice transition for the biggest track meet in the state of Tennessee, the Houston Classic. Preliminaries will be tonight, starting at 4 o'clock. And then, you know, the main event, the final Saturday out there at Houston. I think they're going to get started about 9. And, you guys remember a couple of years ago they brought Asafa Powell, the great Jamaican sprinter, you know, to do a kind of meet and greet for the fans. Well, this year they're going with the big man. They're bringing Ryan Krauser, the three-time Olympic gold medal winner and world record holder in the shot put. So Ryan Krauser will be out there Saturday at noon. You can come out to Houston and meet an Olympic champion, you know, one of the greatest shot putters in history, and, you know,
well, along those lines,
get some autographs, get some pictures, and have some fun and see some great high school track.
I'm guessing he's not real small.
I wouldn't guess. I've never not seen him personally, but
spoke with Eddie Murphy last night, of course, the son of the late great Ed Murphy, and that track and field classic, which has become huge in this country and really one of the bigger ones in the country. And he had talked to me last night. He had just gotten off the grounds at Augusta National, by the way, but he was wanted to see if I can get Krauser on the show today. We're just loaded with guests. We couldn't do that, but hopefully he's on one of the other shows today. I'm not sure if he is, but he talked about Krauser being here, and I think that's big time. He's able to bring these great athletes, and he's not the only one, but to bring these great track and field athletes that maybe don't get the notoriety that they deserve except during Olympic times and things of that nature.
Full credit to the Ed Murphy people. I mean, they started that thing really, really small, and now it's just growing and gotten bigger every year. I mean, they had Quincy Wilson in here last year, you know, the teenage 400-meter, you know, kind of internet sensation. I mean, he was here, and he was awesome last year. You know, Ryan Krauser. I think, too, with Krauser, you know, they've been doing the pole vaulting on Beale Street
the
last few years.
With the former Ole Miss great.
Yeah.
What's his name?
I think they're going to do some sort of shot putting thing.
Yes,
in conjunction
that's what he was saying.
With this year's Ed Murphy Classic 2 downtown. So that should be fun.
Who's that guy? Sam, remind me.
I don't know. I'm blanking.
The Olympic pro pole vaulter. He was on the show.
I only know one pole vaulter. That's that Mondo guy. The one that breaks records by a fraction of an inch, so he can.
Sam Kendricks. No, I know Paul Walter.
You know Mondo?
No, Ricky Fowler's wasn't it Ricky Fowler's wife? Was the beautiful
Paul Walter?
Yeah.
That's what about Mondo?
Mondo. Huh.
Prince Mongo?
I think he went to LSU. I think he's the world record holder.
Oh, yes, you're right. Yeah.
Incredible pole vaulter.
Yeah. Prince Mondo.
I can't see Prince Mongo pole vaulting, but I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Anything else here in the final moments?
No, I'm glad I got all in everything I wanted to talk about.
What's coming up this week? Any plugs for any events coming up? Baseball, softball?
Regular season competition. I mean, you know, everything will be going hot and heavy again. Hopefully, like you said, the weather will be good. And we're gearing towards spring fling. That's probably it's about 5 weeks away. I'm really excited to see what's going to come out of this TSSAA meeting because, you know.
That is what day you said? Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Okay, so since you are our DP World Tour correspondent.
We're not playing this week.
I know. But what's your pick for the Masters? You've got to see a round.
I did. Well, I told you guys off air. I thought McIntyre would do well. Now
so did I.
It's way too late. So now I think Patrick Reed has a chance to get in there.
Okay. He was one of my picks.
He's doing well. Of course, the DP World Tour correspondent would go with Patrick Reed.
But the DP guys didn't do well yesterday. I mean, Marco Pinge was over par. Casey Jarvis was over par. I think
Lib guys were terrible, too.
I think Christopher Reitan was even or close to that. But overall, not a great day for the DP guys. And I guess it's hard when you play this course for the first time. I would imagine.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Especially when it's as hard as it is right now.
No, me thinking as an amateur, I mean, you're a pro golfer. You can play any course. But, I mean, this course is obviously different and special. And that's what makes this tournament special.
Not the case.
And we're not going to let the Kelce brothers mess it up. There's a bone for you, Greg Gaston. Those guys are the human equivalent of get in the hole. They are.
Save it up for next week.
They're ruining Augusta.
By the way, we'll talk Masters later on in the show.
Get in the hole.
According to ESPN, Scotland's Robert McIntyre could face disciplinary action at the Masters after he was caught making a middle finger gesture during a quadruple bogey on Thursday.
They took Mark Calcavecchia's phone. Did you see that?
I kicked him out. You don't mess with the Masters. John, thank you
so much. Thank you, guys.
He is John Barless. Read him at the Daily Memphian. Listen to him every Friday right here on Sports 56 Mornings. Follow him on Twitter at John Barless. Again, he's brought to you by the great folks at Shoot 360 Memphis in both Collierville and in Cordova. When we come back, we'll open up hour number two with the Memphis Sports Fact, followed by the new women's basketball coach at the University of Memphis, Hannah Hayden. You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Let Bryant Dacus and Brett Norsworthy take you home every afternoon. Sports Time on Sports 56. Weekdays from 3 to 6 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Take your basketball.